Praise the Lord. Welcome to this moment in God's presence. In the name of Jesus, let us pray. Father, we thank you this moment. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you adoration. We say, take all the worship, take all the glory, take all the adoration. Thank you for your love and kindness over our lives. This moment, oh God, we also thank you for the previous words that you have been giving to us. You have been faithful. So, Lord, we say, take all the praise. This moment, oh God, I want to hear from you again. Speak to us and bless our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I welcome once again in the name of Jesus. We give thanks to God for all that he has been doing in our lives. Thank him for all the previous talks, even the word that he has been giving to us. We give him all the praise. Hallelujah. This moment, we go straight into the Word of God as we read from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, verse 13. I'll read to verse 17. It says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." May God bless the reading of his word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, I will be speaking on what I title Great in the Sight of God. Great in the Sight of God. Now, we all know this incident, this account that is written concerning the birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was born in a miraculous way. We are aware that his father was old and even his mother very old. He had passed the natural age of giving birth to a child. Now, but the Bible says that Zacharias was a priest in those days, and he went to the temple to do sacrifice and to perform his own duty as a custom was. And he went to the temple to do that. The Bible says, as he went, an angel of the Lord, angel Gabriel, appeared to him and announced to him about the birth of John the Baptist, as we have just read from this portion. Now, the angel told him that his wife Elizabeth was going to bear a son to him, and he shall call his name John. He will even rejoice at his birth, and so on and so forth. Now, in verse 15, let's be attentive to that verse. Bible says, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." That is the first thing I want us to consider briefly as we move forward to try to find a place to pray. Bible says, he said, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." Now, the issue here is that John, that was going to be given birth to, and the name was given concerning him by the angel, who told the father, Zacharias, that he shall rejoice when the child is born. He says, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." Now, the matter here is that John was born with a prophecy over his head, over him, the prophecy concerning him, that he was going to be what? Great. But the angel was able to categorically say the nature, the dimension of his greatness. Of course, the angel did not say, "He shall be great," and stop there. No. The angel did not say, "He shall be a great man. You shall see how great he will be." No. He specified that greatness. He specified how that greatness was going to be, where that greatness was going to be located. He said, "He shall be great." Great where? You see, in the sight of the Lord. May God grant us understanding in Jesus' name. The greatness of John was spoken of by the angel as greatness in the sight of God, greatness before the Lord, greatness that was going to be clearly known of God. Heaven was already on the known of the greatness. And this is a very important issue. Everybody wants to be great, all right. Many people are already great, all right. Nothing bad about that. But that greatness, where is it known? There are many that are even celebrities, great, and are already there and are celebrities, great, great celebrities in various aspects of life. They are great in the sight of men, great before the eyes of men, celebrated by men. But alas, many that are considered and labeled as great in the sight of men and celebrated by men are never, never, never great in the sight of God. This is where the matter becomes very critical, where the matter becomes serious, that it is possible and God can allow it for you to become great before men, but too small before God. That men can see you as a great man, celebrating you. Even your achievements in life can be celebrated. But God is saying, this man is nothing in my presence. Of course, haven't you seen even witch doctors that big men go to bow before them, deceive them, and call some of them, they call the wise one. Call the Adama, is the great man. If you see the kind of thing he does for people in order to deliver them in one way or the other, which doctor? People still look at that person as a great person. But a child of the devil. Have you not seen people, even in the world today, they are terrible occults. They are terrible occultic practitioners who have gotten their wealth through bloodshed. And then when they get to the society, when they speak, some even have that charm that can make their words acceptable whenever they speak. Say, yes, oh, God has spoken. The great one has spoken. He has spoken, and his word becomes like an oracle. When he speaks, whether it is good or it's not good, but because he's the one that has spoken, everyone bows because of whom they are. But alas, a chronic occultic man, great before men, but a child of the devil, and a waste in the presence of God. Why are we saying all this? It's because we are talking about greatness. People want to become great. They go into politics. By the time they get themselves into politics, some they say, by all means, I must become the chairman. I must become a member of the House of Reps. I must become a senator. I must become a governor. I must become a minister. I must become the president or whatever post, political post. They can do all manner of things. They can even rig election. They can take the ballot box and make and go somewhere and manipulate figures because they are just looking for a way to go into that post so that they become big in the society. They want to rule people by all means. They want to get money, billions, millions and billions by all means, so that they'll be looked at as great people. And when they appear, say, yes, they appear in big cars, big vehicles, big cloth, and they appear with big money. And men bow when they appear because they see them as great people. But lo and behold, great in wickedness and rubbish in the presence of God. Let me ask you the question as you listen to this moment. Are you pursuing greatness? The question is this: greatness, true greatness, is not found anywhere but in the presence of God, in the sight of God. So there are many people that are considered as great because of some good things they have even done. Of course, there are some people that have got that have done powerful things. There is nothing bad in doing good things where you are. For example, you are a local government chairman, and you have been able to do many things for the local government. You have been able to for example, maybe the villages, all the villages that are suffering of water, you have given them water. Wonderful things that you have done. And when another election comes, they say, no, you have won already, don't worry. You have our votes already. And people go and campaign for you for another thing. Wonderful. Good. I thank God for your life. But that greatness, first of all, have you secured the greatness of all greatness? Greatness in the sight of God. The mother of every form of greatness is greatness in the sight of God. Let me say to you, your greatness at the end of the day will become wasted greatness if you have never secured this one, which is called greatness in the sight of God. So there are people that men, people are celebrating, they are hailing up and down. People are even announcing them here and there. In fact, the world, the whole world knows them. They are international figures, global figures. Great globally. Some because of what they have become. They have become great in their professions. They have grown and grown and they have come to the peak of their profession. And not only that, they have won so many Nobel Prizes here and there. And so men respect them. They honor them because of how far they have gone. But they have lost their place in the sight of God. But they have gained a place in the sight of man. What a pity. Great before man, but nothing before God. A giant before man, but a gnat, like a mosquito, before God. Strong before man, but weak before God. Everything almost looked at as everything when he appears before man. But when God looks at him, he is nothing before him. Pray for you at this moment that you will go for this mother of all greatness. Greatness before God. So that as men see you as great, if God will now project you to the world, and God, the world is seeing you as great, let it be. Let that greatness be the resultant effect and the offshoot of that your greatness in the sight of God. Let that greatness before men just be an echo or a reflection. Yes, let your greatness before men be a reflection of your greatness in the sight of God, and God will increase you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He shall be great in the sight of God. He shall be great in the sight of God. That is John. Now, are you challenged at this point? I'm asking you, even as a man of God, this is very serious. As a servant of God, you aspire to be greater than who you are now. You aspire to affect lives more than you are doing now. You aspire to go far and wide here and there. This is the question. As you are being launched here and there, up and down, moving here and there, and men are beginning to recognize you, our men have recognized you in so many places, and they are already even ringing bell. As far as your name is concerned, your name is ringing everywhere. The question is this: as your name is ringing before men, is it ringing in the sight of God? As that your your ministration before men not even affected your ministry before God? Are you still great in the sight of God? I want to say there are people that started with greatness in the sight of God, but because they have been launched to be into greatness before men, they have lost their greatness before God because of what men have done. What? Have made them. Because what? Because of what men? I mean, what they have become in the midst of men. They became great, and when they were launched into greatness, that greatness before men swallowed them in the presence of men. And so, their greatness before God became shallow. Shallow before God and swallowed in the midst of men. May men not swallow you. May your greatness before men not swallow you in the presence of men while you become shallow in the presence of God. May your deep rootedness be before men and not before God. Sorry. May your deep rootedness be found before God and not before men. Hallelujah. May it not be found before men, but before God. To the glory of his name and to the shame of the devil. This is the matter. He shall be great in the sight of God. Now, look at what the Bible says. Can we go forward? When the angel Gabriel said this, look at what the verse says. See,
and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. That's number one. Then if you go forward and shall be filled with holy. In other words, that man shall be great before in the presence or in the sight of God, and he shall abstain. That's just the summary of the word. He shall abstain from strong drink. He shall have something to abstain from. You know, even in the Old Testament, law of a Nazarite have some things that the man has to abstain from if he's going to be a Nazarite. And here, as the New Testament was going to be introduced, was coming up, he said, this man, this son that is going to be born, is going to abstain from strong drink. What is the implication? Let me say this at this point. Greatness before God generally requires some levels of abstinence. And let me say this. Access to God cannot just be arbitrary. Access to God requires some dimensions of abstinence from things. There are things you have to abstain to obtain God. There are things you need to abstain from to obtain God. There are things you have to abstain from in order to attain some level with God. There are things you have to avoid so that you will never be void in the presence of God. There are things you need to avoid so that you will never be devoid of the glory and presence of the Lord. You see, the man, this your son, is going to abstain. He's not going to drink strong drink. Do you imagine that? John the Baptist was not just going to be drinking anything, strong drink anyhow like other people do. No. Of course, this was a sort of a rule, a law, or things like that. But the truth of the matter is this. Generally, you can never be mingling with people anyhow and become different from them in the sight of the Lord. You can't be a man that whatever every other person is doing, you follow. And say you can be different from them. No. You can never be different if you don't do something different. You can never be different if you do not separate yourself from others. Others are going about following women. You're also following them. They are drinking anyhow, you also drink. They don't have any day to fast and pray and retreat to the presence of God. And the same thing, every day you don't have any time to abstain from men, to abstain from people, to separate yourself to your closet. And you want to be great. You don't have anything that you say, me, this one. No, I can't do it because of the grace upon my life. You can never be a general if You are a man that follow the general trend of everybody. Everything everybody is doing, that is what drives you on. You also, because everybody is doing it, your own too, you follow anyhow. You can never be a general by following everything that everybody is following. There are things you have to abstain from. Everywhere everybody is talking, you are so interested in going to that place to hear what they are saying. Everywhere people gather, or two people are standing, and they are talking. Your guy, is this rubbish or not rubbish? You are so, in fact, you are so moved. You can even leave one serious thing you are doing because you want to hear what they are talking. Even when you have been withdrawn to listen to God, even the place of meditation, people standing somewhere and you are seeing them talking and they are vibrating, that your attention is taken already. And you begin to listen carefully to them instead of the meditation you are doing. You are not serious. You can never be different. Abstain. Now, that is just, by the way, the Bible says, you shall abstain. Let me say to you now, on a more general note, have you abstained from the flesh? Have you abstained from the flesh? From the works of the flesh? Have you abstained from the pleasures of the world? Have you abstained from the world system? Is sin not dominating your life? Are you not fond of every form of wickedness? The Bible says, John was going to be great, because he was not going to drink anything called strong drink. There are many people that everything goes. Of course, they do anything. They drink wickedness like water, to the point that their hearts have become strong against God. Their hearts are stiff against the voice of God. They have no heart of flesh, but the heart of stone, because actually they have drank strong drink of sin. Their hearts are strong and God can never penetrate. Friend, don't engage in strong drink. This strong drink is not the literal strong drink I'm talking about. Something that will make your heart strong. Don't go into it. And some people say, don't mind them. Some can go as far as to say, they will say, look, if you don't do this, you are not yet a man. And so, some children have even been lured into occultic practices. They dream, yes, you are a man now, and you are a man now. So you can do anything, and nothing affects his heart, strong heart. Let me ask you, what is the strength of your heart? Is your heart not too strong against the word of God? Can the word of God bend and break you? Are you not having a stony, strong heart? You can't be great in the sight of God with a strong heart against his word. You can never be great in the sight of God with a terrible heart of unbelief in the word of God. Can the word of God turn you on? May God help us in Jesus' name. The Bible says, he shall be great, he shall drink no strong drink. And then he said, he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, with his mother's womb. Now listen. The first thing is that he abstained from strong drink. But he was now filled with the Holy Ghost. He abstained from something to be filled with another one. No wonder Ephesians says, do not be, do not be filled with wine. All right? That you should not be drunk with wine. See, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, in wine, there is debauchery. But be filled with the Holy Ghost. And also, you can now also understand that what you abstain from determines what you can contain. The more your abstinence, the more you become, the more your content, the more your abstinence, the more your content. That is to say, abstinence determines content. Abstain from something, you contain another thing. Deny one thing. Okay? And then receive the other one. Now the Holy Ghost was going to now fill John. The Holy Ghost will become his content. Praise God. Can you imagine John? He was going to be going about, as far as he was concerned, no strong drink, but filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Hallelujah. Now, having said this, let me say, this. Listen. If you look at verse 16, he says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. And so on and so forth. Now, if you look at verse 16 and verse 17, please let's follow this thing carefully. Verse 16 and verse 17 tells us about what John was going to do, his exploits, what he was going to perform. But verse 15 was talking about what the kind of person that he was going to be. If you look at verse 16, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine, that is himself. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost himself. So verse 15 talks about how John's life was going to be. The kind of person he was just going to be. His personality. The nature of his life. What he was going to carry. What was going to be inside him. His personality, his person, was what verse 16 emphasized, and it was the first emphasis. Praise God. The Bible did not say, "He shall be great, because he will turn the children of Israel to this and that and that, and he shall also do this. He shall go before him, this and that." It was not talking about where he was, what he was going to do, about his going out and coming in, about his ability to turn the house of the children. No, that's not the first thing the angel mentioned. The first thing the angel mentioned was the person, what the person carried was the first emphasis. Let me say this. Your greatness in the sight of God, first of all, depends on your person. Depends on your life. It does not in the first place depend on your exploits. It depends on your life. That's what I'm here to emphasize in the first place. It doesn't depend on the things you are about to do, on the things you are going to perform. Of course, there are many performers that are already perforated and leaking in the presence of God. Of course, there are many performers that have links to several places, to several people. They are linked with this, they are linked with that, they are connected with this, connected with that. They have many links, they have many connections, they have many links, but they are leaking before God. They have many connections that disconnected from God. So now listen, the Bible says he shall be great, and then he will not drink this. Drink that strong drink, and it shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the person we are talking about. So the issue here is this. Of course, what you do is important, but it is not more important than who you are. What you do is not as important as who you are. Where you go, the things you perform is not as important as who you are. Of course, there are many deformed performers. There are many people who perform, but they are deformed, performing in deformity. Their lives are already in deformity. Their lives are already deformed, but they are still there on the stage performing. May you not be a deformed performer in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this. John was going to go to the wilderness, was going to be in the wilderness. Now, before we get to that, and then pray. You see, many, verse 16 now, many and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Hallelujah. So because of his kind of life and ministry, the kind of things we are going to do, the spirit and power of Elias was, you see, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the lives of the children of Israel, you will turn to the Lord. That is real greatness. In your ability to turn the heart of somebody to God. I think that is the greatest miracle. The heart of a man is very difficult, very tough. But John was coming to turn hearts to God. What is the effect of that? That is to say, in those days, the Israelites have turned away from God. Their hearts were no longer with God. But John was going to go in, right in the spirit realm, begin to turn their hearts, so that their hearts will now be tuned to God. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, as a man, even as a Christian that you may call yourself, where is your heart facing? Where is your affection and aspiration facing? Where your heart is facing determines who you are in the presence of God. How can you turn the hearts of men? How could John turn the hearts of men to God if his own heart is not with God? It's not possible. So when he met with men, his lifestyle, his word was going to be turning the hearts of men to who? To God. So now, as you read further, you see, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now let me say this. Child of God, or whoever is listening to this, what is your major aspiration in this life? How many lives, how many hearts have you turned to God? That is where your greatness in the sight of God is located also. You can even provoke many people, spur many people, challenge many people for many things, by many, many things that you have done in this world. But if in the midst of all the provocation of people that you have done, the way you have challenged them in your field of and your career, in whatever, how you have risen, how you have done this, how you have been become this and that and that and that, and yet it does not turn the heart of any man over to God, you are never great before God. You are great before men. You have even mentored many people in your field or profession. Yes, of course. But as you are mentoring them, are you mentoring them to God? Or you are just mentoring them in that your profession? Why are you able to make men face your profession and cannot face God? You are small before God, but you look at as great before men. In that your profession, how many people have you turned to God? Are you using your profession as a platform to turn the hearts of people that are under you, that are around you, for God? That is greatness. That is the greatness that God is looking for. First, from you. You are a medical practitioner and people are coming here and there. You are treating so many patients. Instead of even turning their hearts over to God through the critical condition of their lives, some of them who are women, you are even looking for a way to be having sexual immorality with them. You are a disgrace to the kingdom. You are just a non-entity, a nonsense to God. Even though people are saying, this doctor can do this. This man can be that. He can treat this and that. Upon all that, you are nonsense and a non-entity in the sight of God. Turning the hearts of men. I pray that you will turn and tune the hearts of men to God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, he says, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. I will rush that, I will conclude. In the spirit and power of Elias. Are you hearing that? That's in the spirit and power of Elijah. See, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready people prepared for the Lord. Now, this is another issue. You shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts. So John came. And heaven released upon him the spirit and the power of Elijah. Hey, glory to God. So, what John was doing in the wilderness, he was doing it in the capacity of Elijah. Can you hear that? John was a man of God. And as far as heaven was looking at him, he was looking at him standing on the shoes and in the room of Elijah. That Elijah was never greater than John. And when I saw that, I was now asking, what about those miracles that Elijah performed? What about the fire that Elijah brought down? What about the fact that Elijah even was taken from the world without dying and went to heaven like that, translated like that, and so on and so forth? And this man, the Bible says he performed no miracle, while Elijah performed several miracles. This is a mysterious issue. That a man is operating in the spirit and in the power of another man of olden days. But people are not seeing the fire. But you know what? The fire was now burning in the hearts of men. The fire of God coming from the word of his mouth was turning the hearts of men over to God. The thing was so serious to the point that they were asking him, what shall we do? And we see that. Of course, he came for repentance. And if you read carefully about John, you will not be able to go into all of that. You will see that there are several things he did, really, in the capacity of Elijah. We will not be able to go far into that, to talk about this, talk about that. But the fact that he was able to open the way, to begin to turn the hearts of man to God, first face this direction now. This is where we are going now. It's like he was introducing a new dispensation to them. He was now going to act like a bridge to prepare, a bridge between the Old Testament and the new one that was coming up. See, he was going to go before him in the spirit and power. No wonder. We'll just go to that before we pray. He said to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. What is it? The children of Israel have already gone far away. But God was going to bring them back to the ways of their fathers. He was going to bring them to their fathers. To carry the hearts of their fathers. Who were their fathers? Men like Abraham. Men like Isaac, Jacob, men of old, that served God in sincerity, in faith, that followed God faithfully, followed God fully. They followed God like fools, and they were full of God. The hearts of the children, God was going to now turn those hearts to become like the hearts of the fathers. Oh God, my prayer is this day is that may the greatness of your ministers, may the greatness of the ministers of today turn the hearts of the men of this day to the hearts of the men of old. That all time revival, all time understanding, all time commitment, all time dedication, all time devotion, all time commitment to God and his word will come back in our time. These are the Johns. These are the Elijahs we are looking for. Oh God, raise them up. Raise us up as men that we turn the hearts of these children of this generation to the men of old, to the hearts to become like our fathers, to become like our ancient men, men of ancient people, how they served you. May men, oh God, serve you in those dimensions so that the world will become different like it was in those days. May the worship of God not be modernized against the way the worship was in the days of our fathers. Minister of God, what have you introduced in your church? How are people appearing in your church today and you are laughing over it? Is that the way it was during the days of our fathers? Is it that how men worshipped God in the days of our fathers? Oh God, may you take us back to the days of our fathers. May you cause men through our ministries to begin to follow you like the fathers. May you begin to turn the hearts of our youth to become like the heart of our fathers. The fathers of old. The fathers of old. The fathers of old. The fathers of old. The fathers. So, servant of God, in your church, if you are an overseer, in your ministry, what is going on? Have you not begun to turn the hearts of men to modernism? The way people worship in your church, the lives people live in your church, the way they appear in your church, the way they dress in your church, the way they sing in your church, the way they act in your church, the way they listen to the word of God, and the way they pray in your church. Is it turning like the days of our fathers? For the true greatness of a minister is located here, turning the hearts of children to the fathers, to the hearts of the fathers. The way they do things, their mentality, their thinking, what they now cherish in the days of the fathers. Spirituality, heaven, relationship with God, communion with God, holiness, righteousness, what true revival meant for them was righteousness and holiness thriving everywhere. And then miracles come to back up. I pray that in our churches today, that God will cause the hearts of the fathers to be introduced into the hearts of the children. Today, when we say that a church is growing, what is growth now? What is the definition of church growth? It's because more big men are coming and more money is coming in. So the church is growing. Even when souls are not added to the church, they may be turned from one church to the other. Because that church, oh God, help us. Because that church that church is good, is beauty, is so is good, is air conditioned, and so on and so forth. And so people are leaving one church there and added to that church. See, the church is growing. Are you sure? How many souls have been turned from the world into that church? Because the church before it was in hundreds. It was counting money in hundreds, 100 naira, or in thousands of naira. Now that it is counting in millions, yes, the church is growing. Was that what the elders considered as growth? Oh God, help us that our hearts will be turned to the hearts of the fathers. Our affections, our drive, what drives us on? Our thinking, our mentality will become the mentalities of the fathers. All that they were looking for was how to please God and make heaven. They were not mindful of the riches of the world. Of course, some became rich, but they were not even pursuing riches in your ministry. Is it not riches you are even pursuing? What do you call growth today? What do you call ministry today? When the man buy jeep, is now flying in jet, in several aircraft, that is what you call, yes, ministry. Yes, God is with the man. No, that is not. The fathers even trek miles. They didn't even see these things as their own. No, they were just like support for them. But what they were pursuing is Christ. Turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. Oh God, may our hearts, may our ministry, may our revival, bring down revival that we turn our hearts to the hearts of the fathers. To the hearts of the fathers. Are you getting me? Now, I'll use just a few minutes to conclude. You will now see that what John did followed. And then he said, and it's obedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, to prepare people for God. To prepare people for God. It's a ministry there to prepare people for God or to prepare people for yourself. To make a name through the people. Are you preparing them to hand them over to God? Are you preparing them for them to follow God, to know God, to know Jesus? Or you are preparing them so that they will look at you as their master? To look at you as the man of the time. Oh God, may you help us in our generation. Now, there are certain things I wanted to have added, but because of our time, I have to stop at this point. I'm going to ask you, minister of God, child of God, what is it? What is the pursuit of your life as a servant of God? And you that go to church as a child of God, what is your priority in terms of greatness? Now, as I try to conclude, hear this from the next chapter, of this book of Luke chapter 2. In chapter 2, the Bible says, in verse, chapter 3, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1, I'll just read and conclude. Now in the 15th year of this reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of the Lord came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, and so on and so forth. I'll stop there. Now you see the greatness of John. John was not the king. He was not Caesar. He was not Pilate. He was not a governor. The word of the Lord, he was not a tetrarch. He was not but the word of the Lord located him because he was great in his sight. The word of the Lord bypassed everybody, even the high priests. They were busy in the presence of God. I mean, in the synagogue, they were busy in the temple. They were great in the temple as high priests, but no longer available to be sent the word of God. Carrying ritual, I mean, carrying just customary traditional worship. But they were no longer available for God to send his word to them. May you not be like one of these. May you not be a big governor somewhere, a big president somewhere, a big king somewhere, a big leader somewhere, a chairman somewhere, and then even in the church you are still a big man, high priest. Maybe you are even whether a venerable or bishop or archbishop, lo and behold. But lo and behold, God has left you and located somebody somewhere who is unknown, even in the wilderness, not even in the city. May you not be lost in the coming revival in the name of Jesus Christ. And you will see that John, when they were coming, he said, don't say to that we have Abraham as our father. You understand? So he was now turning their hearts using Abraham. You cannot say, because even out of these stones, God can raise children for Abraham. You can see how he was turning their hearts. And when he was saying it, say, what shall we do? May God help you. May God help us to have true greatness. Greatness in the sight of God. Turning the hearts of men to God in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm concluding here. I don't have time to talk much about this part of the scripture. But I know God must have put something, must have spoken something to you this morning. And I know he will help us. So that what he expects us to do, to become and to do, will not miss out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for this time. We worship you. Thank you for your word that has gone forth. May it perform its purpose in our lives. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.